Yoga Dharanaya Kamshchit.
Yoga Dharanaya Kamshchit.
Asane
Taranam
Vitaha.
Asane Taranam Vitaha.
Tapo Mantro Sadhai Kamshchit.
Tapo Mantro Sadhai Kamshchit.
Upasagan Vinir Dahit.
Upasagan Vinir Dahit.
Yoga Dharanaya Kamshchit.
Yoga Dharanaya
Asane Tanaran Vitahai. Tapa Mantro Sadhai Kamshchit. Upasagan Vinirdat Hete. Yoga Dharanya. By yogic meditation. Kamshchit. Some disturbances. Asanai, by prescribed postures. Dharana Anvitahai, together with meditation on controlled breathing. Tapa, by special austerities. Mantra, magical chants. Anu Sadhai, the medicinal herbs. Kamshchit, sun. Upasagan, obstructions. Vinirdahet, can be eradicated. Translation. Some of these obstructions may be counteracted by the yogic meditation or by sitting postures practiced together with concentration on controlled breathing, and others may be counteracted by special austerities, mantras or medicinal herbs. Translation together. Some of these obstructions may be counteracted by yogic meditation or by sitting postures practiced together with concentration on controlled breathing, and others may be counteracted by special austerities, mantras or medicinal herbs. So there's no purport to this, so we'll read the next verse as well. Kamschin mana mudayana nama sankirtana abhidhi yogeshvara nuvrityaj va hanyan asubhadan sanhai. The translation to this verse is, these inauspicious disturbances can be gradually removed by constant remembrance of me, by congregational chanting, hearing and chanting of the holy name, my holy name, or by following in the footsteps of the great masters of yoga, purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, by meditation on the Supreme Lord, one can overcome lust and other mental disturbances. And by following in the footsteps of the great transcendentalists, one can overcome hypocrisy, false pride, and other types of mental disturbances. So first of all, we'd like to welcome Lord Jagannath back on the altar. We've missed him enormously. Welcome back, Jagannath Ji, Baladev and Subhadra. It's a very special day. They're wearing their armour today. They mean business. They're out there. They're out at war. So, thanks, brother. So this section of the Bhagavad Gita is very interesting. It's how to find the knowledge to set one free. So what's being emphasised in these two verses, especially the last one, is that one should concentrate and meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The life of a devotee, the life of a Krishna conscious devotee, means one of perpetual meditation, constantly meditating, whether we're folding the magazines here that are going out, folk news magazines or whatever. A devotee should constantly meditate on the Supreme Lord. As it's pointed out here, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, These inauspicious disturbances can gradually be removed by constant remembrance of me, by congregational hearing and chanting of my holy name. So this is the duty of a devotee, to constantly remember Krishna. And a devotee can constantly remember Krishna 24/7, even while sleeping, always remembering Krishna. It said in the Bhagavad Gita, Machita Matyata Prana, Bodhiyantas Parasparam, Kantiyas Cha Mam Nityam, the Chanti Cha Romanti Cha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. So this dwelling in me is a meditation. Their lives are surrendered unto me. They'll do anything for the Supreme Lord, for the love of the Lord. They'll get direction. It's not that we as devotees sit in some austere place along the banks of a river or in some high hillside and just meditate. That's not our direction. And yet, if Krishna asked us to do that, we would do that. But Krishna's not asking us to do that. He's asking us to fold pamphlets of folk news and get the knowledge out to the many, many people that need this knowledge. And so we'll do whatever the Lord wants us to do. That's our meditation. And we get direction from the realized soul, from the spiritual master, as to what we should be doing. It's not that by our own whims we think, oh, I can do this for Krishna, or I can do that for Krishna. Especially in the early stages of devotional service, this is something we need the spiritual master for, very much for, to give us direction. What would you like me to do, my master, my yogic master, as it's pointed here, oh great master of yoga? Yoga simply means it's not that we're surrendering to a spiritual master that is very good in asanas or yoga postures or pranayama. A yoga master means, the real word of yoga means union. That means he's linked with Krishna. He's a great master of linking with Krishna, loving Krishna. Because to link with Krishna means to love Krishna. So we'll do whatever the spiritual master tells us to do, because he knows how to link up again with Krishna. And then the verse continues, encouraging and teaching others also to meditate, so they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening other people. So our bliss comes, our nectar comes, our taste comes, our ruchi comes from passing this knowledge on to other people. That's our real taste. That's the great nectar of devotional service. And conversing about me is the last part of that verse. Hearing and talking about the Lord, the love of their life. You know, sometimes in the material world, when a young man or a young woman becomes infatuated or in love with a member of the opposite sex, or of the same sex, they become infatuated. They become totally infatuated. They can't stop talking about that person. Oh, I'm thinking about that person all the time. Oh, he's so wonderful. He has his hair just the right way and he wears his goatee the right way. They can't stop thinking and talking about it. But really, that sort of attention should be directed to Krishna. We should be so in love with Krishna that we're always constantly talking about him. Did you see Krishna today? He looked so beautiful on the altar. Did you see Jagannath? How wonderful he looked. He was carrying his armour today. They were gleaming. Look at his bright eyes. Look at Baladev, his piercing eyes. They're meant for battle. Look at the sweetness of Lady Subhadra. This is overwhelming love for Krishna. What can I do to serve them? How can I help them? I love them so much, I want to do something for them. So this is what that verse means. The next verse in that section, 10:10 of Bhagavad Gita, Stesham Satatam Yuktanam Bhajatam Pritipurvakaham Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamama Pajantite. So those who are constantly devoted to me worship me. And worshipping is that meditation process, worshipping me. And then Krishna says, I give the knowledge by which they can come to me. So if we apply ourselves to the direction of the spiritual master, Krishna will supply the knowledge by which we can come to him. And by coming to him, that means to love him, to learn how to love him. This knowledge overcomes the lusty desires and other mental disturbances that we have here in this material world. This is a dismal place. And we need to rekindle our real consciousness. This material consciousness is false. It is insanity. It is permeated with lusty desires, selfish desires, and it's false. Our reawakening, our rebirth, is our loving transcendental service to the Supreme Lord. Romantica. The word romantic comes from the Sanskrit, romantica. So we, every second of the day, we should strive to be engaged in that loving service of the Supreme Lord. Every nanosecond, we should attempt to contain ourselves in this meditation process. This is what's required of a devotee. Complete absorption, complete meditation on the personal form of the Lord. We have so many meditators that are meditating on the void. You know? They meditate on that divine impersonal aspect, that bright light. Have you seen the light? You know, they meditate and all of a sudden they see this beautiful light. You know, and they dwell on that. It's not that they don't have some ecstasy from that. I know from personal experience, practicing different impersonal yoga processes, there is some taste, there is some ruchi. When they meditate, and they meditate on the divine light, they meditate on the word Om, they meditate on the vastness of the universe, there is some taste, no doubt, but it's infinitesimal compared to the meditation on the Supreme Personality, on that personal contact, on that loving relationship between you and the Supreme Lord. Nothing compares to it. And that meditation cures us of this material lusty desires and this insanity. If one is in this material world, as a human being, living on this earth planet, and they're not Krishna conscious, they're not in some way directing their life to spirituality, they are insane. They are mad. They are illusion. They are completely misdirected. So if one is in this material world, they're insane. It's a madhouse. They think that this material world, it's real. It's the only thing. They think that they're able to enjoy perpetually. They think that there is no controller. And at last they think there is no God. And I'm the only person that counts. Me first, everybody else second. And this is an insane situation, an insane predicament to be in. It was mentioned in Vijay Prabhu's class the other day, where he was saying where the atheist went to, he got the opportunity to go before God. And he said to God, why didn't you reveal yourself? He didn't believe in God, and then all of a sudden he's standing before God, and he's saying to God, why didn't you reveal yourself down on earth? And God turned around, Krishna turned around to him and said, well, why didn't you see me when you were down in this material world? And this is what's required. Devotees need to observe this material world as Krishna's creation. And that observing quality is also a meditation. At every second, every nanosecond, they should be thinking, do I see Krishna in this? Is there some connection to Krishna in this? This is what's required. Because we understand that everything in this material world is Krishna's property. Everything. Even our own bodies, our children, they don't belong to us. Our new car or our motorbike, it doesn't belong to us. It's all Krishna's. Everything belongs to Krishna. And we have to meditate at every moment how everything belongs to Krishna. It's amazing, you know, just recently we had the opportunity, someone gave us some complimentary tickets to go to IMAX. Who's been to IMAX? Okay, you're all in Maya. Somebody gave us some complimentary tickets to go to IMAX. And Bhakti and I went to see a three-dimensional film on the Hubble telescope. Has anybody seen that? Those that were in Maya, have you seen that one? Okay. It was amazing. It's this huge telescope that's in outer space and it goes deep into the universes. Whether it's accurate or not is another thing. But it was the most amazing three-dimensional experience of zooming through the universes. Planet after planet, suns after suns, universes after universes, galaxies after galaxies. And everything is emanating from Krishna. As devotees we know, everything is emanating. This vast universe is emanating from the body of Mahavishnu. It's amazing. And it makes us think. And we also then, in the same token, when we see this macrocosm, we should also see it as a microcosm. And we should understand that the great sages see everything with equality. They see everything with equality, because they see that Krishna loves every part of his creation. Krishna loves every living entity. Every living entity. And so they're observant and they're meditating on that quality of Krishna everywhere. And so that's that Vinaya Vijaya Sampane Brahmi Gamani Hastani, that verse. So the sage or the self-realized person sees everything equally, with equal vision. And this is due to virtue of knowledge, because they've actually been given this knowledge to understand that actually Krishna is everything. And the reason why I'm making this a point is that we have to constantly look at the Lord's creation in this way and very carefully, is that recently an interesting thing happened to us. If it didn't happen to me, it was related to me, and some devotees saw this. There was a devotee function. Now this is a devotee function. And somehow or other, the devotee felt that it was all right to kill some flies. Whether it was for hygiene reasons or whatever, this devotee was killing a fly. Who thinks that it is a horrible thing to kill a fly? We all do. We cannot take for granted any life. Any life. We cannot be whimsical at all about any life. Whether we're standing on an ant, whether we're killing a fly, whether it's a mosquito that's just about to bite us. These living entities are just going through the process that they're destined to do. Due to their karma, they have to eat, sleep, mate, and defend in this little body. And if we look at that little body, no scientist in this world, no engineer in this world can possibly create such a magnificent instrument as a fly. How can we, if say for example a scientist, the best scientists, the best engineers, were to be able to manufacture this incredibly little robot with its little legs and these incredible eyes that have so many different visions and the little antennas and the way it eats through the little sucker and the little wings that are so transparent, and not only that, it can reproduce itself. How much do you think that fly would be worth financially? How much? A million? A billion? $1 trillion to actually manufacture something like this? And we come along and say, that fly's annoying me. Do you think that's a good thing? We can understand that a materialist who has no knowledge would do something like that. Oh, these damn flies. You see the ads on television. Louis the fly, you know, the enemy of mankind. Kill Louis, kill, kill, kill. Devotees are vegetarians. Yes, that's one aspect. But why are we vegetarians? We follow ahimsa. And we follow what Krishna is telling us. He understands that every life is special. Every life is sacred. We cannot take for granted any life, and especially as devotees. And with the summer months coming up, you know, we have all these creepy crawlies wanting to enter into our lives. You know, crawling through the doors, there's mosquitoes and flies. And then there's that aphorism that the devotees say, well, if it has a weapon, then we can kill it. So the mosquito has a pointy weapon, and he's there to try and get some food out of you. And, oh no, he's carrying a weapon. Ah, you kill it. But the devotee has to understand, what are you destroying? That mosquito and that fly, Krishna loved that living entity as much as he loves you, as much as he loves me, as much as he loves Srila Prabhupada. How can you kill that love? So a devotee sees with knowledge. And we have to be so incredibly careful to look at every single process that we do. We become habituated to this Krishna consciousness. We become habituated from our past. Oh yeah, okay, we become vegetarian, that's nice. But sometimes we forget, you know, the process. Oh yeah, we used to kill flies. We just kill flies. Or we just kill ants. Or we kill mice. At one stage there was a mice problem in one of the temples. And they asked Srila Prabhupada, what should we do about these mice? Should we kill them? And Prabhupada turned around, his eyes lit up, and he said, you should be killed. This is Prabhupada. The temple president just went, God, brought him down. There is a time for killing. Sometimes we have to. There's no doubt about that. But we have to do it with knowledge. We have to do it with discretion. And we have to do it with understanding. We cannot be reckless. And that's why a devotee constantly meditates, constantly thinks, would my lover, my divine Lord, be pleased if I do this? That's what it takes to be a devotee. So a devotee sees with the eyes of Shastra, with the eyes of knowledge, Shastra Chakshush. He sees everything and learns from it and acts accordingly. Because actually, we understand that this human form of life is an exceptional boon. You know, we talk about the hellish planets, and we talk about hell and going to hell. You know what real hell is? It's being captured in that fly's body, being captured in that animal's body. That's hell. There's no reprieve from that. You are stuck in this body. You have to act the way you act. You have to grovel around in stinky mess. You have to suffer all the pangs of being in an animal body or an insect's body. That's real hell. So to use this human form of life by killing is such a waste of an opportunity. To exercise our free will, to utilize our senses, our ego, our intelligence in the service of the Lord, to miss that is such a waste of opportunity. So the goal of human life is to achieve self-realization, is to realize who we really are. Lovers of Krishna, nothing more, nothing less. Man or woman, boy or girl, everyone is a lover of Krishna, and we have to develop that love. And we develop that love by constant service. Now, the devotees of the Lord, acting on the instructions of the Lord, can help the insane materialists achieve real happiness. There's no two ways about that. The Lord also makes so many arrangements to pull people out of this hellish material existence. The Lord is so merciful, absolutely merciful. And no more so than the beautiful Jagannath Ji, Baladev, and Subhadra. They are mercy incarnate. Those beautiful big eyes are there for us to absorb ourselves in his beautiful pastimes. So today we see the return of Lord Jagannath. We've missed him very much. Isn't it an empty feeling when you can't see the deities and there's just a curtain hanging up there? Now it's complete. And so usually what we have today when the Lord returns is a Rath Yatra down Melbourne, and we get the palanquin out and we get the little deities and we go and have a procession. So due to the fact that now we have an opportunity to do a bigger Rath Yatra where the big deities can come out, we've said, okay, we won't do the smaller Rath Yatra, which in effect we would have to have stopped anyway in due course of time, because the amount of people, the amount of devotees that were coming to that procession would have meant that we would have had to get permission from the council to actually do what we were doing, and they may not have given us that permission. So now we have the opportunity, by Krishna's arrangement, to have again a full Rath Yatra here in Melbourne after some 34 years. And this is a great opportunity, and the benefits of this are immeasurable. Absolutely inconceivable, the benefits that we would achieve from that. This is an enormous opportunity for us to pull together and actually create something really beneficial for all the fallen conditioned souls. The Lordships will benedict all those that are there at that Rath Yatra. Now, at this Rath Yatra at St. Kilda Festival, they're anticipating that we get around about 400,000 people there. So the energy that we would have invested in doing a small Rath Yatra today will be channeled to doing this big Rath Yatra and allowing 400,000 people to get the mercy of the Lord. 400,000 people. That's like around about 4 MCGs. How many people? How many in an MC? Is it 90,000? 80,000, isn't it? Yeah. So, this is an immense spiritual benefit. It's a great boon for the fallen conditioned souls. The Rath Yatra helps people with their karma. If they were to keep on going in their lives, it's highly likely that most of the materials that we meet, who are slaughtering cows, who are killing in every way, shape or form, and this is the greatest offence to the Lord's creation, would end up in an animal form of life. By actually viewing the Rath Yatra, we are giving them an opportunity to alleviate their karma. Now, the scriptures tell us that some of the immense, inconceivable benefits, spiritual benefits, are: one, by seeing the Lord on Rath Yatra, by just seeing the Lord, the most merciful Lord's big eyes. So if a materialist sees the beautiful big eyes of Lord Balaram and Lord Jagannath, they will make rapid spiritual progress, and it is an instant purification. This is how merciful the Lord is. They will eradicate karma to the extent where they're guaranteed a human birth at their next life, at least. If not, it's even stated in the Shastras that a person who sees the Lord in Rath Yatra and stands up for the Lord, actually, that is the moment that they will remember at the time of their death. You know how they say that your whole life flashes before you when you die? It'll flash before you, little baby in knickers, da 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 da, first boyfriend, girlfriend, da da da, this kind of thing, kill the cow here, this and this and this. And then one day we went to St. Kilda Festival and I saw Lord Jagannath. Stop. Whatever they did after that, kill the cow, do this and la 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 la. They stop at that point where they saw Lord Jagannath. What happens if you think of Krishna at the time of death? You go back home. So this is the mercy of Jagannath. This is who we have here in this temple, the merciful Lord. The second thing is, if they stand up for the Lord, they will receive the mercy of the Lord that can purge all sinful activities. Cleanse. It's like flushing out all the sinful activities within one's consciousness. So they've got great opportunity to then advance from there. The third point that's mentioned in the scriptures is, if they see the car pass, either from in front or from behind, not even that they're standing up, not even that they acknowledge Lord Jagannath, if they just say, oh yeah, there's a car too, that looks pretty interesting, there it goes, yeah, yeah. Even if they do that, the soul is uplifted beyond all meditations. The soul is uplifted beyond all meditations. This is what the scriptures say. Oh no, sorry. If they see the car pass in front or behind, they achieve all opulence. So all of a sudden, they may win Tats Lotto or something. Or they may come into some inheritance. So as Krishna said, the Shastras say this. The next one, this is the one that's number four, by dancing and chanting for the Lord. So if we encourage and we bring some people to the Rath Yatra, like one of the things we're hoping to do is to bring all the spiritual leaders from around Melbourne, people like Father Bob McGuire, the Anglican Archbishop, people that I've been negotiating with in my interfaith work, we're giving them a special honour. Because in this material world, to be a spiritualist of any kind is a wonderful achievement. So we're asking the rabbis and the priests and the Buddhist monks, and they will be honoured at this Rath Yatra procession. And in fact, they will get front row position to pull the Lord. And the mayor of Port Phillip has agreed that he will sweep before the Lord. So we've lined that up. Now there's two mayors apparently. He's retiring and he's going to be sweeping the street. And the new mayor, he said, I'll convince the new mayor that she should also do this. So we'll have a double whammy with the mayor. So we'll get all these people to also be involved in this. So they'll get uplifted. And we hope that they will sing and chant and dance also. You never know. Father Bob McGuire might dance. he's a bhakta anyway. He's a very nice man, a very good friend. So the fifth one is, and this is really, really important, by assisting the setting up of such a Rath Yatra festival, this is in the Shastras, All of the above are there for that personality that will help with that Rath Yatra. All of the above. Plus, full blessings for one's friends and family. So many generations, so many of your friends, material friends, family, relatives, will get great benefit from you just helping in this Rath Yatra festival. This is all true. This is factual. This is real knowledge. This is what we as devotees meditate on. It is such a wonderful thing. So, if we donate our time, our efforts, our money to this Rath Yatra festival, we will receive great benefits. The reason why I'm mentioning that is that because we will, as a management here that are managing this Rath Yatra festival, the first time in 34 years, we will be approaching all of you to participate and help, because it is an absolutely huge project. I was talking to Aniruddha and Prabhu the other day, and we came to the understanding that actually this is the biggest preaching event that Melbourne Temple has ever done. Now, we've done some big projects, but you analyse it. Where have we ever had an opportunity to preach to so many people in one time? Where have we had the opportunity to have a stage where we can do kirtan for over 12 hours to a huge audience? Where have we had the opportunity to actually set up a mini temple in a park and have book distribution, prasadam distribution, free prasadam distribution, face painting, yoga asanas, cooking with korma, all going on simultaneously? Even the Rath Yatras that were here when Prabhupada was on the planet are not as powerful. I'm not saying with Prabhupada here it was enormous and fabulous, but the actual organisation of it and the extent of it is bigger than those Rath Yatras we had back in the 70s. So we have to diligently be ready. Like Jagannath is ready now to fight, he has his armour on, he's ready to go. We also, over the next month, should be ready to take up our armour and fight in this most incredible battle, this incredible festival of Rath Yatra. And I anticipate that I can ask any of you for any service that's required to take the mantle and say, I'm here for it, Prabhu, let's go, let's do this. And then we'll be so successful, and then the next day is the big day. After we've achieved this incredible battle, after we've won this incredible battle, then we come back here the next morning before Lord Jagannath, we put him back on his altar, and before Radha Vallabha, and before Gaurini Thai, and before his divine grace Srila Prabhupada, and we say, we did our very best, my Lord. And you reckon Lord Jagannath and Srila Prabhupada aren't going to be happy? They're going to be happy with each and every one of us if we put in a consolidated effort. You know how much Prabhupada wanted Rath Yatra here in Melbourne? He was so emphatic that this should go on here in Melbourne. He came from the other side of the world just to visit, to do the Rath Yatra here in Melbourne. Even in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's mentioned, the Rath Yatra in Melbourne. This is how much Prabhupada loved Rath Yatra here. You know? And so for 30 years, the temple presidents, the different managers, have been thinking of ways, how can we have Rath Yatra again? We've been contemplating this and meditating on it, but we just couldn't do it in the city because of those damn tram lines. You know, it'd be up and down with the canopy, up and down with the canopy, up and down with the canopy. And we said it's an impossibility. And then we'd have to arrange our own crowd. We'd have to try and advertise for people to come. And it'd be so difficult. So then what the temple presidents, the early temple presidents, thought we'd do is, well, we'll participate in the Moomba Festival. And so we became part of the Moomba Festival. We built beautiful floats depicting pastimes of Krishna. But it wasn't a Rath Yatra. And so all of the devotees were sitting there, we've got to have a Rath Yatra, we've got to have a Rath Yatra, we've got to have a Rath Yatra. And then by Lord Jagannath's mercy, all of a sudden, the opportunity became. And then even so merciful is the Lord, that when we approached the council, they said, oh yes, we've been looking for something like that. This is wonderful, because we want to change this whole St. Kilda festival to be more family orientated, to be more multicultural, to be more interesting.
And in fact, we'll give you $3,000 to do this program. And we'll set up all the tents for you. We'll set up the stage for you. We'll supply the security for you. We'll provide the director on the stage. We'll clean up for you. You just come. Can you imagine that? We don't even have to, we can just preach. We rock up with the books, put the books in. We rock up with the prasadam, serve out the prasadam. Korma comes, starts cooking, do some yoga asanas. Have kirtan, Gauravani comes, Gitanjali comes, Paravita comes, and he does these transcendental acts. And we're all in ecstasy. 400 people are getting the mercy. They're not getting an insect life next lifetime. We're giving them a chance to go back home. This is Krishna consciousness. This is real meditation. This is life. Preaching is life. Preaching is life. If a devotee is melancholy, if we're sitting in our ashrams going, oh, I wish I was doing something else. Oh, I'm not married. Oh, I'm this and that. Oh, I'm feeling so sick. Oh, I'm this and that. Whinging. Waste of time. Preaching is the nectar. Your only problem is, Prabhu, you're not preaching. You're not out there being enthusiastic and encouraging people to get out of this human form of life. Take up the position of meditating every moment, every nanosecond. This is what's required. And you'll feel ecstasy. You'll feel absolute bliss. And finally is the... Oh yeah, that's right. We also have to be really mindful. The temple needs everyone to assist. So when we do this Rath Yatra program, we're going to get a lot of people that have never ever seen the devotees, because we haven't been that visual for a long time. And all of a sudden, there we are. And there are this big cart with these idols. First thing that happens to a materialist, red lights go on. Oh my God, they're worshipping idols. They have no knowledge. So, each and every one of us will be asked questions. Who are they? Who's that guy that's sitting on the car? Why has he got those big eyes? We will be asked those questions. So we have to know how to present the Jagannath story to a layperson, someone that has never had anything to do with Indian culture, with Hare Krishna, and explain, my dear friend, this is God. It's not that we can just come out, oh, we're worshipping God. We have to explain who Jagannath is. We have to explain the pastimes of Lord Jagannath. Is everybody familiar with the pastimes of Lord Jagannath? Who knows detail the pastimes of Lord Jagannath? Not many. Some do, some don't. So what we're going to have to do before the Rath Yatra festival is we'll be holding some classes in the evening as to how to present the Jagannath story to the general populace. So everybody that's going to be on this festival is aware of how I can tell the story so it won't blow people out. You know? Oh, that's God. Yeah, that's God, and we worship Him and dress Him every day. And it's like, hello. And irrespective of that, Lord Jagannath will still give the mercy. But we should be intelligent enough to also encourage them to go a little further, a little deeper, a little deeper understanding. It is our duty then to encourage and give knowledge to these individuals. So finally, the last part of this verse today, Lord Krishna is instructing Arjuna that he should follow, instructing Uddhava, that he should follow the footsteps of the great masters of yoga. That we should follow the footsteps of the great master. Who better to follow than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself? He's the incarnation of Krishna, who specifically came as a devotee to show the example and how he danced and chanted before the Rath Yatra. He showed how ecstatic we should be. Dancing with his associates, dancing with your god brothers and sisters. You may have some likes and dislikes in devotional service, but when you're dancing in front of the Rath cart with your brothers and sisters, all those petty differences fall away. Because in the ultimate end, when we're back in the spiritual world, which you will be when we're chanting and dancing before Lord Jagannath,
all those petty differences and likes and dislikes will all fall away because we're all just ecstatically in love and engaged in Krishna service. That's what's ahead of us. And another great example, of course, is His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When the Rath Yatra carts were, when the Rath Yatra festivals were first held in the 70s here in Melbourne, they had these posters which had the master at whose feet all masters sit. And that poster was so popular that no one would pull it down. It was in Little Collins Street. And it stayed up for year after year after year. The master at whose feet all other masters sit. So he's the master of all yoga, Srila Prabhupada. He is the master of all yoga. And he wants this to happen. And there's a quote from the Chaitanya Charitamrita in Madhyalila 137. This is Srila Prabhupada saying in the purport. For the devotees of Lord Jagannath who follow the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, pulling the Rath cart is pulling their worshipful Lord, Lord Jagannath, Krishna, into their hearts. So the more you tug on that rope of the Rath Yatra cart, the more you're pulling Krishna into your heart. And this is what's required. This constant meditation. And the temple authorities are making it possible for you to, again, be fully absorbed in service to Krishna. And so I ask you from the bottom of my heart, please give as much attention and as much service to this project as you can. And we'll be asking so many people to contribute and be a part of it. And please don't say no, just become enthusiastic and be a part of it. Yes, Prabhu, what would you like to do? You know, what can we do? How can we serve? How can we teach? How can we do it? This is what's required. And that's also pulling Lord Jagannath closer to us, pulling Krishna closer to our heart. Because this loving service to the Supreme Lord is actually all that is. All that is relevant. So I'll stop here. Are there any comments or questions at all, Prabhu? So we'll be having those classes. I'll organise with Aniruddha Prabhu that we can have some classes which will be philosophically based, but it'll be a way of presenting the whole Jagannath story, because everyone will be approached. If they see you in a dhoti or a kurta, or they see you in a sari, they'll say, hey, listen, what about? So you have to be able to answer. Yes, Brother Charan? Yeah, absolutely. Yep, there'll be a flyer that's being handed out. We're handing out prasadam as well around the float. Some of the ladies will have a basket. Yes, yep. You know that magazine that we've also got, the Hare Krishna Today magazine? They'll be available at both the bookstall and also at the altar, and there'll be a special insert in that on the Rath Yatra and Lord Jagannath. Yes. Yes, Prabhu? We will be doing that, yes. Yes, Manaji? Yeah. Probably not the stickers, but we're going to have balloons and t-shirts and all that kind of thing. Yeah. We may do stickers as well, yeah. But yeah, we'll make people familiar with it, absolutely. Yep. Yeah. It's amazing where you're sitting, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. Isn't it uplifting when you do come past? Like you're driving in peak hour traffic or something and somebody zooms past you and there's a Jagannath sticker on the back. Jai Jagannath! Consciousness is raised. Any other comments or questions at all for me? Good. Is it clear about that whole point of killing for a devotee? We have to be really mindful of that. There is no exception. We have to be very mindful as to how we deal with lower lives that come into our lives, like insects and so on and so forth. Yes, Prabhu? One more. Just like Arjuna was told to, on the instruction of Guru or Krishna, you know, when there is a fratricidal war like Arjuna was in, he had to kill. And sometimes also, there are... if you're being attacked, if your house is being attacked or your family is being attacked and there's no other alternative, then we have to protect the devotees and Krishna. And, you know, it's a last resort, obviously, devotee is humble and gentle by nature. But in the same token, if we are called upon to do that, then we'll do it. But not an innocent life. Not some living entity that's just going about its life of eating, sleeping, and mating and defending. We don't disturb that. Bhakti, if you've only Jagannath pastime, you've been with Lord Jagannath for the last 2 weeks. It's really interesting, can I just say? The Bhakti would come home after painting or working on the Lord, and she'd go, "Oh, hi, Bhakti," and give me a hug. And I thought, wow, she just held Lord Jagannath, you know? So I was sort of getting the mercy of her hug as well. Have you got any pastimes at all that you can relate to? Relate to us? Okay, hang on. Everybody should hear this. Can you just pass it over to him? Bhakti's actually done a wonderful job painting their lordships and replenishing them for our worship for the rest of the year.
Well, several of the devotees, I have to thank him because there's no way you can do anything on your own. And lots of devotees have helped setting up the road. Kasmandini Maharaji, Vasakalasini Maharaji, Kamaleshwari Gopi, Bhakti Man Prabhu, Bhakta Prabhu. There's nothing I can do with that Bhakta Prabhu. I come home late at night and there's the spinach pies. Anyway, when you paint Lord Jagannath, you know, you can't have the Lord standing up when you're painting because then your paint will run down. Your paintbrush, so you have to lie down. So I have a chair, one of those office chairs that rolls around, and with the back removed, you can put a nice clean towel on the back, and then the Lord lies on his back while you're painting him. So sometimes, you know, to get to the different angles of the Lord, you have to move him. But certain areas of the Lord are wet, like say for example, his arms might be wet, so then the only place that you can touch him is actually on top of his head, his arm. So I'm sort of turning the Lord around like this, and all of a sudden, this Lord Balaram, it happened last year too. So, and it always seems to happen with Lord Balaram. So, I'm just moving him around, and all of a sudden, I hear this tune go off in my head, which is a waltz, you know, it's a famous dancing tune. So, it was really like Lord Balaram was taking me for a dance. And last year also, I had a really nice experience. And so I was painting, again, Lord Balaram. This time he was standing on the table, and I was painting with the white paint under his arms. And everybody knows if you put too much paint on the paintbrush, and the paint will drip. Somehow or other, I just loaded a little bit too much paint on the paintbrush. And in the meantime, I was also listening to my Guru Maharaj, and he was giving a lecture, and he was saying, if you just surrender and if you just turn everything over to Krishna, he will take care of everything. Everything will be taken care of. And in my heart, I was agreeing with him. Because, you know, as a devotee, over the years, you do get several experiences where you just experience that you just surrender to the Lord and he just provides, he takes care of situations and, you know, everything is just resolved. So in my heart, I was agreeing, yes, that's right. And just as I was saying that, I clearly saw this trickle of white paint just flying through the air, dripping down. And I'm thinking, the first thing, you know, I said was, Rani. Because I knew I had no protection, you know, on the sari or the carpet or the floor. And I was thinking, this is, you know, enamel paint. It's not easy to remove. And this trickle of paint going down. Rani. So then I get rid of the paintbrush and I look down and there was no paint on me, there was no paint on the carpet, there was no paint on the floor and there was no paint on the Lord. Where did the paint go? I just took care of it. But Lord Jagannath is just so merciful, and even somebody as, you know, splayed out of the mind as I am, gets an opportunity to serve the Lord in such an intense personal way. And all I can say is, if there's any brahmanas who would like to learn how to paint Lord Jagannath, put your hand up and come and see me, because we are looking for new devotees to train, especially younger devotees. And because you know, it's quite an intense service, and I'm not getting any younger. My legs are giving me a lot of problems. So if anybody would like to come forward, you know, you'll have to ask the temple authorities for permission, and then we're going to take it from there.
Jai Bhakti.
Jai Jagannath Swami Ji Ki Jai.
So it's anybody that's had training as a beautician. But basically what we're doing at that time is putting on the Lord's transcendental makeup. So anyway, Prabhus, thank you very much. And we'll keep you in touch and a report. There's already one notice on the notice board from Paravita Prabhu, who is looking for candidates to be part of some of the plays that he will be doing. If anybody's interested in being part of the plays, please come and contact me, and then I'll put you in touch with Paravita, and we'll organise some rehearsals and that sort of thing. And there'll be other services that'll need to be done. Okay? Thank you very much, Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.